I mean, that's how you do it, though. Like to like teach someone a lesson. You're like, why do you fucking like it?
Yeah, yeah. You make them smoke the whole pack.
Exactly.
Ah, that's funny.
Welcome to AE Double Back for September 15th, 2021. What? That's how these things work.
I was the one that got burned this time.
Oh, I wasn't even paying attention. There was just like a long pause.
Okay.
Like, okay. You know, it's just like a scene at improv. I was like, you got to edit that thing, man. It's just hanging out there and there's nothing to be done about it. Just
no dead space.
No. Let's head over to Shop AEW. There's just a couple new ones. Okay. That aren't that great, honestly. I don't know if you saw the one, the Elite is complete. Yeah, that's fine. You know,
just Peter's going to hate. I mean, that's first thought, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And that feels like something that is just like, oh, yeah, I have a template and I'm just going to put in whatever words. And so, like, great. Not mad at it, but like, whatever.
Cody Rhodes backdraft. I mean, if you don't have enough Cody Rhodes shirts yet, this one might not be all that different for you, but it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I guess he's real into firemen. Is that
the deal? that's your read on this?
Well, I mean, backdraft is a fireman term. It's a movie. It's a Ron Howard movie.
Oh, showing off your knowledge of fireman terminology.
Maybe it has something to do with him coming back after his supposed break.
Here's the thing. If someone says backdraft, my first thought is a Ron Howard movie. My second thought is a fart. So neither of those are particularly good at selling a match to me.
I haven't thought of a fart, but you know what? That is the best description.
It's backdraft, right?
Yeah, it is.
Or maybe if you light a fart, you could call that a backdraft.
Wait, a what?
Light a fart?
I think light a fart. I think in that case, if fire goes the opposite direction inside, that is the backdraft.
No, you're right. That would be the more appropriate backdraft, wouldn't it? Gross. That would hurt.
This is what wrestling podcasts are all about.
Yeah. We got to get to the nuts and bolts before we actually start talking about wrestling. but we should talk about Rampage a little bit before we start talking about Dynamite, just because there were some really interesting things that happened and they pertain to storylines that are happening.
I look at the notes that I took like every week that I took about Rampage, and the me who takes notes about Dynamite feels like a different person watched and noted the show the previous Friday. So I don't know what my emotional connection is going to be to all this. It may feel, you know, like a stranger. We'll see.
Well, we'll find out.
It's like on your hand.
Yeah. I did a whole
tattoos on your body and you're just trying to fragment it all together.
Yeah. Yeah, I woke up naked in a duffel bag in Times Square. I'm covered in tattoos. I don't know what they mean.
Someone told you someone named John G killed your wife.
It was a very specific poll, and honestly, I'm here for it because when I used to write about television, I had to cover that show a lot. Blind Spot. It's a pretty good show.
Yeah. Which show?
What was the name of it?
Memento.
No, yeah, there was like the TV version of Memento was this.
I didn't know that.
It wasn't an official TV version, but it was essentially the same thing. It was like Memento and Bourne Identity.
Oh, okay.
You know, but it was better because it was a beautiful naked woman that that you get to ogle. So that was cool.
There you go.
Well, you know, that's TV for you. Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. So Rampage. Andrade versus Pac. Now, this was such a great match. I was really sad that it didn't end up in the pay-per-view because this deserved millions and millions of views. I have no idea how many people saw the pay-per-view. So I might be exaggerating.
No, I believe it was something like 2 million. So that's
Okay, good. Because, I mean, this was so fucking good. And Andrade was doing cooler moves than I remember him doing in WWE. I could be wrong because I don't really remember all that much at this point. But,
well,
God,
you know,
it was like, really good.
When you get to step away for a moment, only for a moment, from the extremely rich vein of exposing concrete and trying to maneuver someone onto it, you know, you can be surprised by what you find you can do.
Yeah, that's true. Very true. Pac at one point threw Andrade through the guardrails. This was towards the beginning. And he went through it, and there was this family and these little kids right there, and they were not prepared. And so Andrade actually apologized. It was so cute because there were these little kids. He's like, sorry. Another thing to note is how unreal Pac is. I mean, he's so gifted in so many different styles, and like, it's clear and very obvious why he's with Death Triangle. I mean, damn, what a dream team, right?
The only thing he's not good at is traveling.
Yeah. Yeah. And
he's not good at is being British or being American. He's bad at being American.
Taz mentioned something about how Andrade had to use his glutes and hamstrings, and he's like, that's your butt. And Shivani says, I know all about the butt. What the fuck? That was just silly. Anyways, whatever. This match was unbelievable. I don't mean to go on, but it was really fucking great. And the important part, aside from how incredible this match was and how I was really on the edge of my seat, like, who's going to fucking win? Let's see. There is a assistant to Andrade that got the ref's attention by using a taser thing, like a taser sparky thing. Then Chavo gets up and hits Pac in the head with an iPad. So he's totally knocked out. So then Andrade is able to win. But he was like, wait a minute, what happened? And then he figures out what happened. Anyways, the Lucha Brothers come in, they kick Chavo, and then whatever, there's this like cool stuff with the Lucha Brothers, but the Lucha Brothers are keeping the refs away so that Pac can keep Chavo in a brutalizer. So the Lucha Brothers are like, no, he deserves this. No, let him sit in the mess he's made. But anyways, when Andrade figured out what happened, he punched out Chavo. And I really respect Andrade for that because he didn't want to cheat to be a winner. He believed in his abilities and he was showing us his abilities. It was really fucking great. And it was a real bummer and disappointing that was what happened at the end, because as a fan, you know, whatever, if it's figured out in advance who's going to win, I don't care. Just, it's very satisfying to see someone win on their own as opposed to dealing with tricks and stuff. So it was a bummer that it happened that way. And I do feel bad for Andrade, but it was really great. I loved it so much.
We know how it's okay to subvert like honest competition. And that's, you know, calling the airport to claim that someone's not coming, or canceling their rental car reservation, or, you know, like, get like feeding bad directions into their, you know, something like that is okay. That's wrestling.
If memory serves, that is also how the Patriots beat the Chiefs last week.
By
calling off their limo service.
Oh yeah, yeah. It happens all. But you know, like a stun gun, that's not wrestling.
I will say that I like this because one of my favorite eras of Triple H's career was when he was a competent heel. He was a bad guy, but he didn't do any of the cheating stuff. And it's honestly kind of a little rare to have that, because it's so easy to do the, you know, heel cheats.
Yeah, you're allowed to. Yeah.
But to be a bad guy without cheating in the ring is a much harder thing to pull off.
Yeah. So that was interesting. There was a match with Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter versus Ruby Soho, Statlander, and Riho. I really liked seeing Riho in this. You know, Statlander, again, insanely strong. Yeah, Ruby won. That should be important to note. And then there was the Max Caster versus Brian Pillman Jr. match, which was good. Anthony Bowens called Brian Pillman Jr. Saved by the Bell reboot looking ass. very true. And I don't like, you know, when it's the match of the night on Rampage, I think we've talked about this before, how they do that whole split screen interview thing with Mark Henry. Yeah. But Mark Henry looks so happy that and excited when he announces enough talk, time for the main event. Like, he looks so happy that it, I'm okay with it. I'll let it be.
Sure. Yeah. I don't like the Zoom call feel of it, but yeah. Mark Henry is delightful.
Did you know he Max Caster's dad presence. Was a player on the Jets?
Oh.
I learned that from Rampage.
Interesting.
wow. I thought everybody came across really well in this match, actually. But Brian, he hugged his family and he gets back in the ring, and then Bones attacks and Max too. And then Moxley comes and helps. So there's like this cool moment with Moxley and Brian sort of arm in arm. I think we were still in Cincinnati at the time, so that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
But anyways, that's all about Rampage. I just wanted to speed through it because it was like, there's some interesting stuff.
I just enjoyed that particular showcase of how many, like, especially strong women are coming into AEW right now. Between, like, Statlander and Hayter and Ruby Soho, there's just, and also Jade Cargill and all that. There's just a lot of, like powerhouse women that are showing up, so it was cool.
Absolutely. Yeah, that match on Rampage is really good. Although I really don't like Rebel. It's like not great at all. So, you know, whatever. They could have had a trio without Rebel, just had her, you know, with a perpetual limp on the sidelines. But oh well.
Let her wrestle.
Let her what?
Let her wrestle.
Oh, well. All right, so we've got Dynamite tonight, and CM Punk was on the announce desk. We've got Adam Cole versus Frankie Kazarian. This is a great match. This is great. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
For a first match for Adam Cole, this is great. At least first match at AEW. And Frankie Kazarian, it's always good to see him. I mean, we used to see him a lot, obviously. You know, at least a year and a half ago. But you know, I kind of forget sometimes what type of wrestler he is, but I mean, he's really good.
Yeah.
It was a good match.
Everybody's good. This whole match is really tight and fun.
Yeah. It was, the pace was really great. I liked it.
Yeah. I gave it a thumbs up.
Yeah. Same. Me too. Punk is fine on commentary. He's not great. It's hard to be a face wrestler guest announcer. Yeah. You don't have as much chance for zingers. And, you know, if you go like really deep into like technical stuff, that can be good. But that's, you know, kind of not what he did. He was just sort of there to just be, you know, friendly, which is fine. But, you know, whatever. It is real helpful when you have three or four people on a desk to have at least one heel.
Yeah.
It's just three people who are just like, yes, that is correct. Oh, well, this is nice. Okay. it gets a little dull. So nobody's fault. Just like,
and also something that's helpful is, if you have that many people on the announce desk that put in the leaf.
Yeah. Why is someone always hanging over this edge? They also announced, Adam Cole and the Young Bucks are going to, fight against Luchasaurus and the Jungle Boy. At least that was the challenge.
Yeah.
At that point, which gets accepted later. But,
I do like that, Punk says, if you have a problem with Jungle Boy, chances are you're the problem. Like,
yeah.
You know, you're right. Nobody has a problem with Jungle Boy.
But yeah, this whole thing got a thumbs up.
Yeah.
So. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Then we have a promo, and this is the first of a couple. This is a promo for a match between the Lucha Brothers and Butcher and the Blade. And just for our podcast alone, this is an absolute dream match.
These
are our favorite wrestlers in the same ring at the same time. That's all we wanted in life. And thank you very much, AEW, for making sure we all get seen and heard. Big thumbs up.
Same. Love it, love it, love it.
I think that I forgot from how long Butcher was away, what it was like when the two of them were actually together. And it was definitely delightful. And I was certainly energized for this match.
Then we have an interview with Shivani. He's a Sammy and Fuego del Sol, and basically, Fuego del Sol got a new car.
As soon as he said that, I was like, no.
I know. So basically, he's like, Sammy's like, I don't know, I can't remember now if Sammy gave me the idea or what, but basically, Fuego del Sol wants a rematch with Miro for the title, and the winner gets his car? Which is so weird. It's like, but doesn't the winner get the belt? Isn't that better?
Well, no, I think he's putting up the car as collateral. And if he loses the match, then he loses the car. It's very Fast and Furious. I wouldn't worry too much about it.
Okay. Look, these days you have to have a pink slip involved.
You really do.
So what do y'all think?
I hate this, but also I kind of a little bit love it. Because it's so silly and kind of, you know, old school and just like who gets a car and then puts it up to it's ridiculous. And I thumb it up just because like, whatever, man.
Interesting. I thought it was all right. It didn't make an enormous impact on me, so I middled it.
Yeah, I thought it was okay. I mean, what's funny too about it, which makes it very cartoony, is I don't even think it was like a fancy car. You know, I think it was just like a regular car, which makes it even funnier to put it up. Like, here's Corolla.
He should have got a Honda Fit and then just brought it up there, just an orange Honda Fit, and put it up and just had Mirror like, no, why would I? No, I don't want it even if I win it.
It would be funnier if it were a smart car, because Moreau could never fit in a smart car. Those things are itty bitty. In fact, I don't even see them around anymore.
It's a shame. I like them. I like a teeny car.
I don't, because they look like traveling coffins.
Even better. Even better. That's my goth aesthetic right there.
If it actually looked like a traveling coffin, maybe, you know, but they just look like
I see Fuego del Sol is
there's
maybe
no amount of damage that car can absorb. Vespa guy.
Again, keep saying things that sound stupid. I wanted an instant death machine. Come on. What did you give this?
I middled it.
Okay.
It was like almost a down, but I'm like, no, it's more entertaining than that. All right, so MJF comes out, and I love hearing the crowd's reaction to him. He's cutting a promo in the ring and he's praying and pretending he's talking to Pillman Sr. in hell or whatever. Oh, I'd also God, like to know.
It is cheap, but it's just so well executed that I just delighted.
He threw his gum out of the ring.
It felt so particularly.
Like, someone's going to land on that
ugh.
And be like, what the fuck? There's gum on my back.
As they're bleeding out of every hole. Yeah. Like, oh, ew.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard the, why am I thinking? The Aristocrats that, why can I not remember his name? You know, the guy who
Bob
does,
Saget?
Who you see the Affleck. No.
Gilbert Gottfried.
Thank you, God. What am I? I am so old and tired. I don't even know what's good. He does his version of the aristocrats is, you know, like all of the awful things. And the dog was fucking like, and then they shit in the mouth and, you know, and then they sweat on each other. Ew, sweat. Ugh, God, could you imagine? It's so like the bit is just that, like, after all these horrible things, it's the sweat that really gets to him. And that's what that reminded me of. There you go.
A fun remembrance. A long walk for
But Brian Pillman Jr., his music comes on and MJF is telling Wardlow to go get him, but then he had been under the ring as he comes up with the chair. He's got a cool tiger shirt on. I thought this whole thing was cool. It's definitely forwarding something and it's definitely pumping up Pillman Jr., which is cool. I like to see when new guys that have been around for a minute, like, kind of get their due, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm trying to get him a lot more spotlight lately. So, I don't know. Where'd you guys thumb it, though?
I thumbed it up. I don't care for Pillman in all of this. Nothing he's doing is like, clicking with me. But at the same time, I get it. It is real simple, and it's being executed properly. So I don't feel like I can, like, really thumb it down. And of course, you know, MJF is just, you know, again, continues to be a delight. So
yeah,
I mean, I thumb it up.
The point at which, and you know, it is like this very simple and, you know, maybe less transgressive thing than it feels like it comes across as in the context, but yeah, like switching to talking to Brian Jr., Brian Pillman Sr. in hell is an interesting move. And like that definitely may be like, that's not right. that's not okay to do.
Yeah, I gave it a thumbs up. I just thought it was interesting, entertaining, and we're getting some movement on some stuff. This was followed by a JR interview with Pillman Jr. And basically really hammering it home. Like, he was humiliated and let his dad down for losing last week. It's like, shit. God, JR. But, you know, Pillman, he did a decent promo. And he's like, you're not stepping into the ring with another wrestler. You're stepping into the ring with a Pillman.
No. What he said was, you're not stepping in the ring with a man. You're stepping in the ring with a pill man.
That's
not how it was pronounced.
There we go.
If you write it out, that's what it says.
And okay. I hope to
God, that is not a shirt that he's trying to push, because it does not work how he thinks it works. And it is terrible. Just terrible.
Well, I think it's every bit as good as the Jay-Z thing, and, you know, I think we should be applauding Brian Pillman Jr. for it.
I got 99 problems, but what?
No, he did the "I'm not a businessman, I'm a businessman," right?
Oh, right. So you're comparing Brian Pillman Jr. to one of the greatest rappers of all time, Jay-Z. Is that what you're doing?
It's very linear.
It's very linear. You see how one flows into the other.
Obvious connection. But I gave the promo a thumbs up. I thought it was good.
Yeah, I did too. Wow.
Oh, okay. We have Marvez with Jungle Boy, Christian Cage, Luchasaurus, and Marco Stunt was there. Basically, they're going to be doing something at Rampage. Rampage is going to be 2 hours next week.
Indeed.
Yeah, it was very confusing because they were talking about what was that? The Grand Slam. And they're like,
yeah,
4 hours of wrestling. I'm like, a 4-hour Dynamite? What in God's name are you doing? But it just means that there's going to be an extra hour of Rampage, which, like, okay. Like, that seems fine. Like, and then try and sell it as, you know, like, pay-per-view level, you know,
yeah.
Like, that's innovative. I like that they're just taking, like, their normal stuff and making, you know, every other show or whatever seem exciting.
Well, I think it's a natural and it's a nice consequence of their decision to have so few actual pay-per-views is that they have the natural spillover of that level of content that they are going to put on free TV for goodwill, which, you know, you have to appreciate. Yeah, that's nice. I had a beef with this segment because Jungle Boy started talking and Christian Cage cut him off, and I was like, he's speaking. He's a grown Jungle Boy who has the floor, and you know, you may think you have something better to say,
but he never does.
He's a jungle boy, not a jungle man. So, you know, he's going to get cut off from time to time, and that's just the way it is.
God damn it. He'll never have his bar mitzvah.
He'll
never make it.
He'll always be a boy. Oh, no. I do like it whenever anyone like does a mocking version of someone else's thing. So the Bebe like was very funny to me. Like the way they finished this segment was fun.
I have to say, I may have liked it a little more if Christian Cage wasn't as involved. I middled it.
May have liked it a little more if none of the people there were involved.
Oh no!
Yeah, I love them all, but just. Mic wise, none of them really float my boat. So okay. There you go.
I upped it because I enjoyed. I enjoy what the Jurassic Express people do.
Okay. So we then have a match with FTR versus Dante Martin and Matt Sydal, and I was like, when I saw Dante Martin and Matt Sydal, I was like, oh, I knew they were friends. I fucking knew it.
Right? Friends with each other, huh? Is that how it is?
Well, no. It's just that because they're both high flyers. I mean, he and his brother had a match against Dante and somebody else, and I can't remember who was with Dante anymore. But it was like a tag team match, and there was the Sydals. And I was like, I bet you anything that Dante Martin trains with them because they're just so similar in style. And fucking A, if they aren't tagging together here. So I just like seeing that.
Teresa writes non-sexual / fiction where it's just the wrestler she wants to train together training and nothing beyond that happens.
Yeah, that's my type of fan fiction. Also, what's going on with Dante's brother?
Yeah, he's injured. So like that's why Dante.
How injured? Because it's been a while.
It has been a long time.
I think it's a long recovery, which is a bummer.
Fuck.
When I see people teamed up, I often get anxiety because, first off, like, are you stopping their singles push? Mm-hmm. The second off is like, oh, are they going to get buried like this? And sometimes it works out fine. Like, with, Scorpio and, Ethan, like that's a team that's like really working and firing on all cylinders and making both of them look better than they mm-hmm. did before. And this one, like, yeah, my first thought is like, oh God, they're just going to like stick them on Dark Elevation. And that's the last we're going to see of them. But also like, yeah, they are both really great in the ring and mm-hmm. they have kind of complimentary, you know, charisma. So like maybe this will work. And I mean against FTR, just like,
this is a great matchup, I thought. It was differing styles, but I thought it was great.
Yeah. That's what it is. It is perfectly contrasting styles.
Yeah, that's
FTR
it.
They are so good at what they do, that grounded style, and Sydal and Dante Martin is so good at what they do that when they have a natural interaction and everybody can just like do their thing and it's mm-hmm. beautiful. There's a phrase, styles makes fights. And that's very much the case here.
And I think like people like seeing the Sydals, and they like seeing Dante Martin. So even if they don't know exactly what to do with Dante yet, they're always going to plug him in somewhere because he's like, you have to see this motherfucker. I mean, watching the show, some of the moves he was doing, I mean, they're unfucking real, man. It was great. But you know, every time Cash would do something, I was like, God damn it, Cash, protect your fucking arm. I can't.
Hello.
stand this, knowing it's like, you know what I want? I almost expect to see him like open up his arm and take a little screwdriver to it and fix something.
Oh God.
Just like Luke Skywalker did. You know what I mean? You know, Luke did that with his hand.
Mm-hmm. No, I know exactly.
Oh yeah.
Anyways.
No, we all remember. We all remember when Luke did some repair work on his hand.
Yeah. Also, there's a commercial for the Cody Rhodes Roads to the Top show, and they're showing how everyone was having a hard time putting in the car seat, and that reminded me of how you know, I used to watch my friends' kids and stuff a lot when I first moved here, and like there's one girl I had to drive her somewhere. I don't remember where we were going now, but all I remember is they live up in the hills, like I forget the area, the name of it, but it's just this beautiful area and lots of winding roads. And I had thought I had done everything right with the car seat, and we're driving around and I go around a curve and I just see her in my rear view fall over.
Oh no.
She's perfectly buckled in and she just like, whoop. And she didn't even care, but like it was so funny and horrifying to me because I'm like, what did I do wrong? Because I thought I did everything right. Oh shit, I gotta make this quick and get back because I don't, obviously this child is not safe. Anyways, I gave this match a thumbs up. It was fantastic.
Oh, huge thumbs up. I love this
song. It was great. Yeah, it's an odd thing to put a Seidel and Dante together the way they did, but like under the circumstances, it's a perfectly feasible thing to do, and then their style goes against FTR so nicely. Yeah, and I guess I'm admitting to myself that I got honestly worked about Cash Wheeler being on death's door. I guess he's fine.
Yeah, I was like, I thought he wasn't going to be able to wrestle again either from the way they were talking about his arm. But anyways, I guess it's fine.
I guess it's fine.
I mean, yeah, it was a bad injury. I don't think they were lying about that. He's doing well. So it's good. I'm happy.
Okay. So CM Punk took a moment. They asked him at the announce desk about this. And so he's sort of filling in the audience on some issues. So Suzuki basically was mad and angry with AEW because he felt they cut his music short and sort of disrespected him and his entrance and all this stuff. And then, you know, was just mad. So I thought that was interesting. But then there was like this little promo with Lance Archer and Suzuki. And apparently Lance Archer used to team with this guy a lot. And so I thought that was really fucking cool. So in New York, they're going to be wrestling again together. And hi, Mushu. Sorry. If you saw her face right now, you would stop everything too.
Mushu's car seat flipped over and Teresa had to deal with it.
Yeah. And Suzuki Ichiban. It was fucking cool. Thumbs up.
When this thing was playing out online over the week, I was always struggling to like get a real handle on what was going on. And like it got built up into the capitalized Suzuki incident, like as though it was going to go down with the Montreal screw job. And I was trying to understand, OK, I hear that fans are mad, but I also am seeing like I think Emi Sakura said something about like she asked Suzuki about it. And he was like, what's going on? And so I was like, geez, I don't know if this like matters to him at all. I get why you would like slant it that way, because you're like, well, whether he gives a shit or not, like everybody was getting riled up about it. So, you know, whatever the case may be, that's still a force we can tap into. Yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah. What'd you think, Robert?
I thumbed it up. I mean, yeah, okay. they're both great.
Okay. Yeah, I did.
Okay. So then we have a Malachi Black thing, and I decided to time it because I was just like, you know what? Let's just really see how pissed off should I be, right? So the lights go out and it's 10 seconds before his music starts.
It's a lot.
He's seated, right? And then he's seated and it's 40 seconds before he stands up. Like it, this is like 10. So that's like 30 seconds in between. Then at a minute 7, he stops near the ring. At a minute 20, he's on the ropes. At a minute 30, he's seated in the ring, and he's seated there until 2 minutes and 4 seconds. I was like, the fuck is going on? And now this was not a match, which I thought this was going to be a match, but it wasn't. But he doesn't start talking into the mic until like 2:52. So it's basically like 3 minutes. And I don't know if all of his entrances are 3 minutes long. They feel 3 minutes long. And 3 minutes in wrestling TV is an eternity. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the shit that they normally can do in 3 minutes, I'm like, fuck, that is a lot of wasted time. You know, wrestling has to see the seconds and the minutes the way the world needs to see the precious water that is getting polluted on a daily basis. You know what I mean?
Teresa with her like, green agenda yet again.
I'm just saying, conserve, baby. Conserve, conserve, conserve.
Here's the thing. There are 22, maybe 23 segments this episode, which is way more than normal. Like I have a little template where I like put like segment one, segment two, and like I just copy and paste it for each episode. And normally it's 13 long. Like my little template is 13 segments. So they're cramming a crap ton of like really short segments in here. So every once in a while, you got to mix it up. You got to slow it down. You got to put on some doom metal and just for 3 minutes of.
It just as easily could have been the Fuego del Sol segment that took 3 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, God.
For everyone to walk in and take their places.
And he'd just drive the car around the ring. Donuts in the back. Anyway, so Malachi says, members of the House of Black, please rise, which I love that. That's cool. And then he's like, he was wearing some weird, like hoodie thing. It didn't look as cool as I wished it did. But anyways, he's like, we have an enemy in our midst. And basically Rosario Dawson was wearing a Cody sweatshirt. And so that was it. So Cody comes out, and that I was excited about, but then Rosario jumps on Malachi Black's back. Now, this is why when we talk about non-wrestlers getting involved in wrestlers, there's a wafer thin line, and there's not many people that can be on the good side of that wafer thin line. And this is someone who is not on the good side of the wafer thin line, because it makes, again, Malachi Black look like he can't do shit. Because it's just a woman on his back. She's not kicking him. She's not punching him.
Just a woman, she says.
Yes, I did say that. But I mean, I'm just saying she's not a superwoman. She's not like a Jade Cargill, for example, like some like heavy, like thick muscled person who's squeezing his head to pieces. She's just this woman that jumped on his back. So he could have just, you know, slammed her on the ground by slamming himself on the ground. You know what I mean? He could have done that. He's a wrestler. This is what he does for a living. And it's stuff like that. That just makes him look weak again. They've been doing that just a little too much lately. And, I love to think of this character that he has as so much more than that. And that's my fault as a fan. You know, I'm not listening to the cues they're giving me. But anyways,
yeah, if you're doing anything wrong, I would say that it's having faith in the goodness of humankind.
I 100% agree with you, almost word for word. That's exactly what I would have said about
which,
this.
Which word would you change?
One of the blacks was a little too much. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to see Malachi Black mixed up with this goofy shit.
Yeah.
I love goofy shit and I love Malachi and I want the two to be separate. When mm-hmm. you put, it's such a hard thing to manage that sort of like quasi supernatural dark character. Like the Undertaker managed to do it for a real long time. And then eventually he had to give it up and mm-hmm. be like a biker because, you know, you can only, it's real hard to do.
Yeah.
And they're not doing him any favors by having Rosario Dawson jump on his back.
No, love not her. At all.
No, although she's probably stronger and more formidable than Arn Anderson.
She's stronger and more formidable than me. I will, you know, I'll tell you that for free.
I mean, yeah. lest we forget, like, her impressive physically dynamic turn in Death Proof.
Didn't see it.
Fine film.
But if it's anything like the title suggests... she didn't die.
She did not.
She's death proof, baby. Mm-hmm. It ends up Malachi Black and Cody fighting in the crowd, and the crowd fucking loved it. Someone gave Malachi a beer, and he threw it on Cody, which I loved. I don't know. So this whole piece as a whole, I gave it a thumbs up because I do want to see this feud between Cody and Malachi, that is appropriate. That is good. I hated the Rosario thing so much that I almost changed my thumb on it. But I was like, no, it's not their fault. It's not their fault. She was probably like, Cody, you have to do me this favor.
Forgive them, my father. They know not what they do.
Yeah.
I did middle it because I absolutely Rosario Dawson should have done that. She should have done it to someone else.
Yeah.
And you know, like it's hard because Black is feuding with Cody. So, you know, this is sort of how it has to be, but also just do it another way. Just
yeah.
It really ought to have been a thing where she has some spirit and fight to her, like verbally, like she steps to him, but he, you know, without a move, he should show her like, you don't want to be involved in this. Like with that, just a look ought to have said back off. And she did. Yeah. She would.
Yeah. Like she could have mouthed off and he could have looked at her and just, you know, whatever, I don't know. But the fact that she jumped on him, I'm just like, that wasn't even necessary because it's not like it bought Cody any time. It's not like it helped in any way. It was just some weird thing because she's like, I've always wanted to be a wrestler. Sounds like so much fun. Can I do it? It's like, no, do it on dark and do it with QT Marshall.
You know, oh, yeah,
QT
yeah.
Marshall, that's what he's for.
I mean, maybe eventually she will also have a show on Stars about professional wrestling in Texas. I'm talking about Stephen Amell, who used to be Arrow, and now he's got a show about wrestling because he loves wrestling.
That's cool.
Yeah, eventually everyone does a Stars prestige show about wrestling in Texas. That is just a very common trajectory.
That's everyone's retirement plan, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
Christian Slater's doing it as we speak.
Where did you rank this?
Honestly, I middled it. Yeah, like that the thing we've been talking about was just a little bit too much of a bother for me, even though I do like the feud. And I think we all have to agree that a full suit fight is always to be applauded. But
yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, like the other element of it with Rosario, and I love Rosario Dawson. I think that there could have been a great way of including her, but that just kind of weakened everybody. So too bad.
Hmm. Yeah, I agree. So then we have a promo. It's like, okay, Bunny cut a promo, and then there was a promo with Anna Jay. Now, Bunny's promo was amazing. It was really great. And I was like, how come we haven't seen more of this? She's really good. She's very natural. I know it was taped, so like, I don't know if that makes a huge difference. I'm sure it does, but it was really great. Then there was Anna Jay, who, not so great, but she was interrupted by Evil Uno and then Alex and Five, and they all fought. And basically she's like, I don't want any of you guys to be there. So, you know, just some more issues with the Dark Order. But yeah, I don't know. It's like I middle it because I love Bunny. I thought she was great, but because it includes everything else, I middled it.
I thumbed it out just because they're sort of doing two different things.
Yeah.
They're doing a, you know, a Dark Order promo. And sandwiching it in with the Bunny promo, and like I like those two separately, and I'm fine that they just kind of put them together.
Yeah, it definitely made it so that Anna Jay was having to do a different and maybe more challenging thing, because she has her Bunny thing, and she has the that other whole narrative, and the Bunny was just able to focus on killing what she was doing for her. Mm-hmm. I upped it on the whole. Yeah, there were some like aspects of the Dark Order one that weren't necessarily top notch, but I do like what that story is doing.
All right, so then we have Dan Lambert in the ring with Scorpio Sky, Ethan Page,
already
and
talking.
Five different UFC. Yeah. Five different UFC fighters. So he's talking, and then we hear Jericho's music. He comes out. He's got a cool jacket on. They turn off his music, and the crowd keeps singing. I really like that when the crowd sings. I don't know. Just makes me feel good. And Dan Lambert's like, whatever. They don't know your song. They're looking it up on the this, that, the other, whatever. And Jericho's like, oh, what? Is it because they don't know the words to your song? I'm a fat-faced dipshit. Yeah. And then he starts singing that, and then the crowd's singing it too. Oh my god, I died. And
it was totally perfect that it was like the lyrics really were the title of the song, and that he didn't, you know, like make any real effort to improve or vary on what that was, just like really commit to that childish slam. So it was pretty perfect.
Someone on the announce desk said, is that a Fozzy song? Really quietly. So I know they were saying that to each other. I thought that was funny. And god damn it, Lambert is amazing, but Jericho was in rare form. So good. I can't even summarize it. It was so good. Your chipmunk buck teeth down your fuck effing throat. There'll be no escape from New York for you. Basically, there's a challenge next week in New York for Jake Hager against and somebody else, maybe Jericho. I don't remember who else it was. But
Hager and Jericho versus Sky and Page.
That's it. I don't know. I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. I gave it a big thumbs up.
It was super fun. My favorite. I might have misheard this, but I believe one of the things that Lambert was saying is like, oh, you what your fuzzy records.
Yeah, he said fuzzy. Yeah,
that just broke with shit. All of it was just like super fun, old school, like 80s manager kind of business. And yeah, love it.
There was one thing that was like maybe not the best, because at some point Jericho makes some joking remark about who's on top, and it was kind of this gay thing that was like, it's of a kind with a lot of what they were doing, but that doesn't mean that you keep all the elements of one of those kinds of old school segments. Yeah. And that was like, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it's not the 90s.
I don't.
The 90s aren't coming back that much.
I don't think so. I don't think also, so.
This was at the point in my notes where Punk, Jericho made some Escape from New York reference. Fine.
Yeah.
Punk was like, oh, one of the greatest films of John Carpenter, a great reference from Chris Jericho. And that was the point at which I wrote, we really need a heel commentator.
Yeah.
With all the faces are like, that was wonderful. That thing you just did, you wonderful, good-hearted person. Like, all right.
But it is a good movie. A good movie.
It is.
I just thought this was such a funny segment. And these two guys are so good. So good. Like, you can't teach that, man. You just can't teach it. It's just, they're too good. Anyway, moving right along, we have a Gun Club promo.
Now, I like
something none of us knew. In every category, these guys are undefeated. Huh?
indeed. Yeah.
I believe in every combination of them as team.
Yeah.
In singles competition, I believe they've been beat quite handily.
Often. Okay.
And you know, like if we were to really drill down into the matches that they have had as a whole, I would speculate that there might be relatively few quality wins, even as teams. But they're not wrong. They're undefeated as units.
And I guess that's the reason for why they hurt Paul White. Okay. Because they're not getting anywhere, not getting recognition or something. I don't know. Yeah. I middled it because it wasn't like necessarily a bad promo, but I'm not excited.
100% same.
Wow. Interesting. I upped it because I enjoyed that they gave a thing to people who didn't really have a thing at all. And kind of, I was like, you know, it's like you've got a cupboard of all kinds of cans of things, and maybe you could go 100 years without touching the refried beans or whatever, but you know, like there's got to be a part of you that is screaming out, use those refried beans somehow, some way, as long as they're here. And I'm really quite happy that they're doing something with those guys that is anything.
Okay, next we have Jade Cargill versus Legit Layla Hirsch. Shit, both of these women are extremely strong. This was a fantastic match. And actually, this was the most hurt Jade has been in any match that I've seen her yet. But damn, I mean, she's a real badass. And seeing the things that she can do, it's unreal. You know, Layla, I have the same feelings about Layla too. She's small but mighty. And the fact that she could do some of the things that she was able to do is pretty crazy. But I don't know. This whole thing, I loved it. Jade won. I give it a thumbs up.
Same. The visual of Layla German suplexing Cargill is really impressive, and I want to see more of that kind of thing. I think they're a good match for each other, and I would like to see, you know, like a continuing feud and seeing them, you know, go at each other more than any other wrestler. I think Cargill works well with Layla, and so like, yeah, let's continue see more.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where'd y'all film it?
That wasn't up for me.
We have an Andrade promo, which I really loved. I thought it was a cool promo. I like the character development here. It's just, you know, going off of what happened at Rampage, where his manager cheated and he's just like, I don't have to cheat, man. Fuck that. Thumbs up.
Yeah, same. I'm trying to figure out if they have dialed in what they're going to do with him, you know, mm-hmm. like a sort of subtitle promo thing, and so no longer need Chavo, or if like Chavo's like, you know what, I've got like 6 weeks and then I've got shit to do, so, you know, like I'll be here for this amount of time. I'm kind of curious how that all went down, but I think he is in a good place that he doesn't need Chavo anymore. And yeah. So, you know, great.
I think yeah. he likes talking.
Yeah, I feel like the Chavo thing was probably always going to be temporary. It really is like perfectly nice to hear from him himself, like in this in this method.
This is so funny. So Taz shows up and he walks to the announce desk and CM Punk says, I didn't know they let trolls cross the bridge. And Taz just kind of gets him to get up and kind of follow him a little bit. And then Powerhouse Hobbs comes in from behind. And then they make everyone leave the announce desk and Hobbs puts Punk through the announce desk. And I mean, it was funny. It's just a bizarre thing. It's just very Team Taz. I loved it. I gave it a thumbs up.
You really can't miss with Taz, and the combination of him with CM Punk has already been like pretty combustible. And something that really struck me, and I don't know that it's such a big deal, but I appreciated that Taz comes in unmiked, and then as the situation escalates, Punk like takes his stuff off too, so that there's like that there was this mix of abilities to hear what people were saying, and I don't know, I sort of appreciate that level of reality to it.
Yeah. Okay, so then we have a Sean Spears promo. He's got a new entrance now. Well, okay, so it was a promo, but it was going into the match, so we don't have to talk about the promo, but it was decent. But he's got a new entrance now where he's sitting on a chair and he's got a hood scarf thing and his shorts say Canadian God. I don't know what that's all about, but I like the new stuff. I do.
You're coming around.
I mean, I don't
Spears
know.
Always wins him in the end.
JR's at one point, Sean throws Darby into the steel steps and JR's like, hey, you throw someone in the steel steps, guess who has the advantage? Steps.
I salute JR for calling out the steel steps on their privilege, because they do have the advantage in that power dynamic, and it should be known.
Yeah. At one point, Sean rubs off Darby's face paint on purpose.
Unbelievable.
Very, very unmasking and disrespectful. I don't know. There's some stuff going on, some skirmishes with FTR, Tully, Darby, and Sting, and Tully hit Sting with a chair. And then this is basically after the match. So they're just really pummeling the shit out of Sting and Darby. And then they do a spike pile driver on Sting.
Sting took a real good one there.
Yeah. And then they wipe off his face paint, which is considerably more paint.
Unbelievable.
Damn. I gave this whole thing a thumbs up, though.
Same. I think it's a good combination of people. Yeah. It all worked real well for me. I do like, I'm always waiting for Spears to like really break out and show me, you know, like what we liked about him in NXT. And, he always seems to sort of just miss the mark, or like do it, but like it doesn't really catch on until they sort of like, you know, bury him for a little while. But like, yeah, I like all of this. I'm happy about it.
Yeah. There was a promo with Danielson, but it was the same one that we saw on Rampage, so we don't have to talk about it. But Shivani was in the ring with Bryan Danielson for a little interview, and then Don Callis comes out with Kenny. And oh boy, this was unbelievably great. I loved this. I like this feud that's happening between Kenny and Bryan Danielson. I'm not that familiar with Bryan, but just already I'm enjoying what I'm seeing. And they said like four shits. And I was thinking like that has to be an accident because Bryan's new. And so he said it four different, I think Don said it twice. And then Bryan said it twice. But then earlier in the night, Jericho said it like three, four times because he was saying, you know, fat face, what piece of shit or whatever he said. Dipshit. That's it.
Yeah. And good old Calder was throwing me under the bus over there on Twitter. Saying
I was
like,
not.
Oh, don't worry.
I was shouting you out.
No, honestly, I should have been counting all of these shits like I normally do. But also normally there's only ever two. And sometimes there's three. Once a year, there's three. And this episode, they were just like, fuck it.
All over the place.
There's like a dozen of them. So like, I did not get a count. I apologize to anyone who has come to this podcast looking for a shit count.
Wow.
I do not have one. I will meet you. I will for sure Z's make sure that there's a shit count every time going forward.
I just really liked the tension between the two of them.
We commend your accountability.
Hey, I came here to fight the god of pro wrestling. Yeah. Sorry about that. There's a lag. I keep talking when I think that there's space. Anyway, he's like, I came to fight the god of pro wrestling, but you just hang out with a bunch of goofs. He said something. I forgot what it was. But anyway, so Don didn't want Kenny to take the match, but Kenny said yes to the match. And I was like, this is another dream match that they're just listening to the wrestling fans on. Honestly.
Yeah.
Give it a big thumbs up.
A real smart thing to do here, too, in that it's not a title match. Mm-hmm. So basically, we're just going to get to see them wrestle an amazing match, and I hope they go like 30 minutes, maybe even longer. I don't know. And we won't know the who's going to win, because with Kenny with the belt, like, it's a pretty safe bet that they're going to keep it on him. They're not just going to switch over to Danielson as soon as he shows up. Since it's non-title, like, yeah, we are going to be invested because we just don't know. And that's so amazing.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun.
It should be
thumb the segment up before, basically as soon as Don came out, because I love Bryan. He's mediocre on the mic most times. Having him come out is like when Sting would get on the mic and then Taz would come out. And you're like, oh, thank God, everything's going to be okay. Because we've got someone be real fun. And with Kenny holding up a shirt to show off the belt and the bit about like, you're not a carny piece of shit, you're just a mark. Like, all of that is, there's like so many levels to it that I just love.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it, and I also am glad to think that they would be preserving the integrity of the Hangman thing when Hangman comes back, because he's been like taking time off, and I wouldn't want that to disrupt what they were doing. But they seem very committed to that.
Then we have a Miro promo, basically responding to Fuego del Sol, and I was thinking to myself, my God, does he write these promos himself? Whoever is writing them should be getting a raise. They're so good. They're so good on so many levels. I mean, how could I not thumb this up?
Yeah. Big fan.
Yeah, pretty amazing. Like what he's taught, like when he, like his whole perspective on like, I'm helping all these people. You know, I redeem them. They go on to have a better, everything's better for everybody. Like, I'm a good guy.
We then had a really short Matt Hardy promo, but boy, was it a good one. I love this type of Matt so much. And he's like talking about Orange Cassidy, and he's saying, we're going to shave your head and you're going to go from Orange Cassidy to Orange Egghead. It's so stupid.
I really like the... I love the like one-sided nature of like not only like this, but also the Taz thing where it feels like Taz is angrier than CM Punk is. But this thing that it's very important to Matt Hardy that he take the hair of Orange Cassidy. But like I love that Orange promo, whatever it was last week, where his response was Matt Hardy something something whatever.
Yeah,
like that makes it so enjoyable that Matt Hardy gets so heated and wants this so bad that, like, to my knowledge, Orange has no, you know, feelings about anything, especially let alone his hair. So it's pretty funny.
They're really the best to be paired against each other. This type of Matt, where everything gets him insanely mad, and someone who just really has the lowest energy and the lowest output to respond to that.
It's a really good thing to be doing with Matt Hardy if he's in a fragile or diminished state where there are a lot of things he can't do. This is a great use of what he can do like safely. Even though I do miss Damascus and broken Matt Hardy and all of that very much every day. But he's very good at this too.
So Moxley and Kingston, this is the match of the night. They are going to be fighting 2.0. So as they're walking through the crowd and the fans are going nuts, some of the faces on these kids are like going bonkers. 2.0 attack from behind. They keep doing that, right? They always do this now. That's all they do is attack from behind no matter what. But I thought this was a fun match. Again, do I wish there were other people that maybe were getting more of a rub? Maybe. But I'd rather this than QT Marshall. You know what I mean? Whatever. So it was a fun match, but Mox and Eddie win. And then we have Suzuki come out and they play his whole song. And as per his wishes, his eye is still really fucked up and the crowd sings his song. And I guess that's why he wanted it all to be played, because the crowd does respond and does sing his song. But, go ahead.
They had played the whole thing like on his first appearance. And then too, the crowd seemed to connect with it a lot. Sang along or did the chant or whatever. So yeah, like, and it surprises me that he is instantly met with this level of fan response. But yeah, they certainly seem to appreciate recompense being made.
So Suzuki and Mark start fighting, but Lance Archer comes out to fight Eddie. And I thought this was a really cool moment. It was an insane melee that went all through the crowd and everyone was loving it. And basically this continued until time was up on the show. And what I really hope is that I like this thing with Lance. He had a little mini promo earlier in the night with Suzuki, and I just really like if this is the thing that helps Lance Archer, I really hope that this works, because he's tried so many different things and I just really feel for the guy at this point that like there's nothing that's been a hook really to get him through and get him over, and or at least a way for them to plug him in somewhere. But having him matched with this guy, it's like really gives him insane credibility. First of all, it explains so much about his background. And I don't know, it'll be a different style. It'll be just really fun. And, Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah. The Mox Kingston 2.0 match, honestly, I would have middled it. But the hijinks at the end, I'm like, yeah, you are now selling me again on this thing, and I very much want to see it. So let's go. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. The ending made it a thumbs up for me, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is, you guys, this is a 92% show.
Wow.
The must watch, the new, much stiffer, must watch barrier.
Interesting. Wow.
Honestly, they're making it a little easier on themselves by stacking it with multiple segments so that, you know, like just a 40-second segment is going to get a thumbs up as much as a
20-minute
18-minute amazing match. So
yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
92%.
Let's hope they push higher and higher, and someday we can just call it like a day for forever if they hit 100.
Yeah, 100%. Side note, did you guys watch that Special K commercial where they drizzled the Special K flakes with chocolate?
What?
Yeah, there was a commercial in there where it's like they have chocolate covered Special K's, but it was a close up of the little bran flake and they were drizzling chocolate on it. And I thought it was an ad for chocolate covered chicken McNuggets. And all of a sudden I was like, oh my God, I want a chocolate covered chicken McNugget.
Here's the thing. I didn't see that commercial. So I have to assume that Teresa had some sort of stroke and was just hallucinating.
You know me.
I really only pay attention to the pizza based ones.
There was a commercial that I was really mad at, and I didn't mention it because I was like, I don't need to bring up the commercials. But you know what? It'll be back next time, and I will. Oh,
well, we're at the end of the recording, so people can shut off now if they want. So keep going.
They always could. They always could.
So keep going.
Fuck the NuGenics commercials. I years ago, I don't even know what I was watching. That I was getting these NuGenics commercials a lot, but you know, it's one of those like make your dick hard pills.
Oh. And,
the thing that irritated me was that the name is eugenics with an N. So I was like,
I
photoshopped a little thing. It was like, hey, NuGenics, and now try our new patented formula, Nethnic Cleansing.
look For the greater good, we must cull the weakest penises from the human population.
Well, I guess that's that is the plan. Is like, if you buy the pills, then clearly you're inferior, and they're just death pills.
Yeah,
science capsules.
I would love it if the plan of one of those Bond villains who was going to repopulate the Earth with perfect people, like he was just hyper focused on genitals. Like these are perfect human specimens, but just like these are flawless, immaculate penises and vaginas all around, and that's all I looked at. And you know, we're going to poison off the earth, and these penises and vaginas and butts are going to make the new order.
You know what? I don't hate this. I don't. We'll shop it around.
Oh my God.
Bye, everybody. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.